Did you notice some of the words in the songs that we sang this morning? Did you notice that the word no is in there a number of times? No room, no welcome. If you think of the Christmas story, and you think of the way in which God came down to man, it's interesting that there is, if you really think about it, a lot of sacrifice, right? There's a lot of sacrifice. As we go through our lives, we don't want sacrifice. And the media all around us would tell us that we do not deserve to sacrifice. Rather, we deserve better. We deserve this. We deserve that. You have earned this. But all of God's plan throughout the entire scriptures, you will find God calling on his people to sacrifice. What does sacrifice mean? Well, let's see if we can. If we look at sacrifice, what does sacrifice mean to you? But before we go there, I want to I want some help this morning. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 1 as our first passage we'll be looking at. And I would like to see if I would have a male and a female volunteer who would, in a little bit later, when I call you, come and help me read that passage of Scripture, Luke 1, 26 to 30. So you think about it. You've got just a couple of minutes here to think about it. As we talk about sacrifice, and we see it in the lives of Mary and Joseph, and not just Mary and Joseph, but a whole network of people, then what do we think of when we think of sacrifice? I want you to think about that. What does the word sacrifice mean to you? How would you define it to someone? Is it when you see in the big deal bulletin, sacrifice, price, that it means that somebody has to let something go? Does it mean a sacrifice fly ball? Does it mean, what does sacrifice mean to you? Well, I'm sure there's a whole variety of definitions, and there's probably quite a variety of things we could say, but I want us to look at two different things today. Just in this relation. Frank, you may have to run that for me. It doesn't seem to be working. If we look at sacrifice, here's one of the things that I found in a dictionary. It says the forfeiture of something highly valued for the sake of one considered to have a greater value or claim. Isn't that interesting? It's a forfeiture. And whenever we forfeit, it's not necessarily something we would choose to do. But there is a forfeiture. Another one tied in with a similar means to forfeit one thing for another thing that is considered to be of greater value. I will give up this in order to gain something of greater value. So then I want to ask you, as you have been planning for Christmas, as you've been getting ready for it, has the word sacrifice been a part of your thinking pattern? Has it been something that you put into your day? How much sacrifice is required of a Christian? How much sacrifice is required of a Christian? Does God really mean that if I choose to be a Christian, that I will have to, need to, must sacrifice? Or can I be in a wing of Christendom where God will not require sacrifice? Surely God should have somewhere an area, a group of people of whom he doesn't require the same thing as of others. I want us to look at the life of Mary and Joseph and see the sacrifice that they were involved in and how that is really something that God desires of us today as well. Do I have two readers? Who will come help me read? If you all get up at the same time, I'm going to have to make somebody sit down. But don't be too shy. Okay, would you come up here? Bring your Bible, Luke chapter 1. I need a female reader. Okay, come up. I'll just get you to grab a mic over there. And no problem. Luke chapter 1. And we're going to start at verse 26. Luke chapter 1. And I will be the narrator. And will you be Mary? Okay. And will you read for the angel? Okay. Okay, so we have Luke chapter 1. I will be the narrator. And then we have Mary and we have the angel Gabriel up here. Let's read together. In the 6 months, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town of Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said,
"Greetings, you who are highly favored, and the Lord is with you."
Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her,
"Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with your God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, the Lord God. He will give you the throne of his father, David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever in his kingdom and will never end."
But how can I have a baby? I am a virgin.
The angel answered,
"The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so the Holy One will be born and will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren in 6 months, for nothing is impossible with God."
"I am the Lord's servant, and I am willing to accept whatever he wants. May everything you have said come true."
Then the angel left them. Thank you. Thanks for helping me. If we think, the angel's visit to Mary, and we think of the good things, the good news that brought, but think for a moment around the circumstances that this would bring into Mary's life. Mary's family seems to have been a close family. Whenever we read of some of the things where we would be connected to her family, it seems to be they're a close family with her cousin Elizabeth, her parents. Can you imagine Mary's dilemma of going to her parents and sharing this news as a young lady with her parents? And as she said to the angel, "How can this be since I am a virgin?" And then the angel shared with her how God would make it possible. But how can it be that she would be able to explain that to her parents first of all? Would they believe her? Would you have? What about to her friends? Her closest friend? What about to Joseph? It's interesting that Mary, who lived in the small town of Nazareth, a small town. What do small towns do? What are small towns known for? Everybody knows everybody, and everybody's business is everybody's business. We talk about it in the restaurants, right? We talk about it on the street. How long would she be able to keep this a secret? Maybe a few months? I don't know if that was why she took off to visit her cousin Elizabeth. We're not told whether when she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, had she already told her parents? Had she already told Joseph? We're not told those things. But we know that family life for them wasn't a lot different as far as relationships goes than it is for us. So what is it that would have caused that Mary could choose to say, "May I am your willing servant"? With that, we see something about her relationship with God. We see that something even already originally when the angel says, "You are highly favored. Greetings, favored one." You have found favor with God. She had a relationship with God that was strong. This relationship isn't something that probably, it was probably something that she, that came out of her parents' faith and was passed on to her. And there was a strength there that caused her to not even think twice before she said yes. She didn't say to the angel, which is fairly a favorite response of ours, right? "I'm going to pray about it." Why do we say "I'm going to pray about it"? Because we're sure hoping the Lord's going to let us say no. Generally, if we want something and we would love to do it, we're not going to say, "Let me pray about it." We'll say, "I'd love to." In Christendom, we have kind of said, "Let me pray about it." You pretty well know you're going to get a no. Because we're going before God and saying, "Can you let us say no here?" Mary didn't say, "Let me pray about it." She didn't say, "You know, I'm going to talk to my family and I'll get back to you." There's an interesting, in our devotions last night, the author said this. He said, "When God speaks to you, it's never open for discussion." When God speaks to you, it's never open for discussion. You don't say, "Let me go to someone and check this out." Mary didn't. When God told her, when the angel told her something that seemed impossible, as impossible to her as it does to us. I don't think that Mary in any way had this dream as a 12-year-old that someday I want to be this virgin that's going to bear the baby Jesus. Because it seemed like the prophecy of Isaiah 7, Isaiah 9, and the prophecies of the Old Testament were only beginning to be understood as Jesus fulfilled them. And so she wasn't prepared for this announcement, and yet she had the faith to be able to say yes. How can this be? It's interesting, and I read that and I reread that as I looked at Zechariah and as I looked at Mary. Both of them said, "How can this be?" In Zechariah, it says that he doubted. In Mary, it says, "There's nothing like that." But God explains to her. What's the difference? The difference is an attitude in the heart, one that says, "God, I don't know how you are going to do this, but I know that you can." And the other one says, "God, I wonder whether you can do this." It's a difference that begins in our heart, a difference that begins in the attitude of our mind. And so when she was told something that was impossible to her, she said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Small town, religious community, or in a religious family, part of the temple. Matthew chapter 1, Joseph's story there. It says that Mary was found to be with child. She was found to be with child. Somebody discovered that this young lady is pregnant. Now there's a real dilemma, and I think sometimes we don't realize the risk in a way that Mary took. And this is seen in the sacrifice that she was willing to make without really thinking it through and thinking through all the consequences if she were to say yes. That she was actually putting her life on the line, her life in Joseph's hands. Because in the Jewish culture, when you were betrothed, when you were engaged, that was the same, that was as binding as a marriage. And so this was considered adultery. And Joseph had the full right that he could bring her before the priests, before into the synagogue, and he could have her stoned. That was still the punishment for adultery. Did she think about this when she said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Her reputation, her honor, her life were all at stake here. We don't know about the conversation that may have passed between her and Joseph, her and her parents. Those things aren't written for us in Scripture, and they're obviously that God chose not to. And so I'm not trying to really speculate and read a lot of into it other than to think and to say that people are not a lot different back then than they are now. They are male and they are female. And what's important to women? Relationships, right? Relationships. What would have been important to Mary? Relationships. Relationships with her parents, relationships with her fiancé. All of these were now at stake. You know what? Was she willing to sacrifice? Was she willing to forfeit something highly valued for the sake of one, namely God, whom she considered of greater value or claim than all of these things? Yes, she was willing to sacrifice. Why? She was willing to sacrifice because she was willing to give up something, one thing, for something of greater value. I started writing in my notes that if Mary had not said yes, then we wouldn't have Christmas. And then I thought, whoa, that's not right. You know why? Because if that were the case, then I am saying that you and I can thwart God's plan. And so I think we would still have Christmas, but it wouldn't be Mary's name in there. And then I look back and I say, wow. Because she was willing to sacrifice, because she was willing to give herself to God, she is known today for what she did, what she was willing to sacrifice, for being a part of God's plan. And so, folks, as I thought about that for myself, then I realized that am I willing to sacrifice? God is, when God asks me to do something, to give up something, to forfeit something, am I willing to forfeit it so that I can be a part of God's plan? How many great blessings do we miss because we're unwilling to sacrifice? We don't want to give up what we consider a value because we don't want to risk giving it to God and getting something in return of much greater value. If Mary had said no, Joseph won't understand. He didn't, did he? My parents won't understand. My community won't understand. I'm not willing to pay the price. Find someone else, God. God would have, wouldn't he? Do you miss the blessing of God because you want him to find someone else? Joseph, he doesn't seem to believe Mary, does he? Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus. Came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place, what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. If you think of it, in Joseph's shoes, if we try to put ourselves into his shoes, we as men are a little bit different than women, aren't we? All relationships are important to us as well. But if you really look at it, there's often something that's a bit more important to us. We may not like to admit it, and that is our reputation. How we are viewed in the community. How we are viewed at work. I don't know about Joseph, but I would have had a bit of a struggle believing Mary's story. To come and to say that she was pregnant, I think pretty well right there, your brain would go into such a high gear that you would stall and you wouldn't hear the rest of the story. Because you knew it wasn't your child. And so all of a sudden, as through the fog, you hear her talk about God and an angel, about not having been with anyone. And you say, "Yeah, right." The reason it seems as if he didn't believe her is because it says that he wanted to divorce her. He wanted to put her away. It seems like he just can't consider taking her as his wife. To be able to say, well, let's get married right away. Yet even with his hurt, his pain, his sense of betrayal, it says that Joseph was a righteous man. And in his righteousness, you know what you see? You see mercy and grace mixed in with his righteousness. Because that is really what righteousness is. Because it says that he wanted to divorce her, but how? Quietly. So what does that mean? Well, we already said that Mary should have been stoned for her adultery. But Joseph had a lot of power here. Because if Joseph would not convict her, if he would not say that she was guilty, he's the only one that could step in according to the law and keep her from being stoned. You see what he did. The offense, according to the law, was against him. But he did not take that offense. So to speak, he forgave that offense against him and would not take her to the law. And so he could put her away quietly. He could divorce her quietly and not have her stoned. What's even more interesting, it says that he did not want to expose her. There's an interesting Greek word there. In fact, if you ever take one of these, I can't read Greek, so I have to rely on these words. But there's a number of interesting Greek words in this passage that show us the character of Joseph. And part of it is when it says that he did not... Let me get the words exactly right. He did not want to expose her to public disgrace. That word has the sense of exposing a character or exposing a character flaw to public view. We've had a little bit of that in the news recently of character, right? Of our former prime minister. And you kind of get tired after a while of hearing the story over and over again. But it's bringing someone's character for exposing it to the public. Joseph was unwilling to do that. This was before the angel spoke to him. This is before that's what makes you believe that he did not believe what Mary was telling him. Joseph was a righteous man, and yet he mixed his righteousness, his godliness, with mercy and with grace. The struggle of all of us in Christendom today. We don't see all of the story, but we see enough to say there's sin. And so let me condemn. Joseph didn't. He did not want to accuse her. He did not want to prove her guilty. And in that way, he could save her life. So we see that Joseph also was a man in a small town, the same small town as Mary, facing the same, similar at least, areas of what's this going to do to my reputation, my honor? Who will believe? Should we get married right away? And in Jewish custom, that was possible, that they could have their wedding immediately. Should he do that, would anybody ever believe that this wasn't his child? That he just did it to redeem Mary? He was in that same small town. I don't know how much time lapsed. I have a feeling, a sense that possibly this was after Mary got back when she was 3 months pregnant, back from Elizabeth, visiting her cousin Elizabeth. And I don't know how long Joseph deliberated, how long this went on. But it says that after he had considered this, Verse 20. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. God's angel kingdom was pretty busy that Christmas, wasn't it? Going from here to there, delivering the good news. And the emotions it created in the players of that first Christmas. What I find amazing is that Joseph's response is so very similar to what Mary's was. Mary didn't deliberate and say, let me pray about it. She said, I am your willing servant. What did Joseph do? He woke up and he did it. He did it. He immediately went and he took Mary home to be his wife. There was no question. For them and their marriage, there was now no big celebration. There was no big wedding feast that lasted 7 days. There was no family and friends getting together, the whole community getting together to celebrate their marriage. There was a quiet taking Mary home to be his wife. He had no hesitancy in sacrificing all that would have been dear to them as a couple. There wouldn't have been marriage pictures, wedding pictures, I should say, on the wall. Wouldn't be there. But there wasn't a question for him. Joseph, like Mary, was willing to sacrifice, willing to forfeit something highly valued for the sake of one, God, whom he considered to have a greater value or claim than all of these. He was willing to forfeit one thing for another thing that was considered to be of greater value. And you know, both Mary and Joseph did this by faith. They were not given any glimpse into the future. They didn't know about the census. They didn't know about no room in Bethlehem. They didn't know about Herod's slaughter. They didn't know about their trip to Egypt. They didn't know any of that. God didn't give them that information. How can you sacrifice so willingly? You can only do it when you trust the one who's asking it of you. If you don't have a trust in the one who is asking it of you, then you're not going to want to sacrifice. See, sacrifice means that I forfeit something for someone of greater value, who has a greater claim. When tough times hit your life, that is not the time that your faith will necessarily be built. That's the testing of your faith. If you do not cause your faith to be an active, living faith in the good days of your life, then when the call comes to sacrifice, your faith won't be ready to handle it. And you're not going to be willing to sacrifice. And you know, when you're not willing to sacrifice, you miss out. God's going to go ahead with His plan. You're the one that misses out. Sacrifice. Sacrifices begin in little ways, and they move to big things. But let me ask you, as we think about this Christmas story past, are you willing to sacrifice? How much are you willing to sacrifice? We sing about how we are willing to sacrifice everything, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. But what if He asks for that all? What if He takes you up on your word? Can your faith handle it? God's best is seen as we look back on life, not as we look ahead. You're going to have your census. You're going to have no room in Bethlehem. You're going to have the trip to Egypt. God's not going to tell you all those things. He's going to ask you whether you can trust Him. If you can't trust Him, you've limited Him. If you trust Him, you are letting God do the impossible. Let's pray. Father, we speak of You as the all-sovereign God, as a God who does not disappoint those who come to Him. Our mouths, in our singing especially, Lord, make great boasts. I invite You this morning to take us at our word. When we say that all to Jesus we surrender, when we say that we're willing to follow You no matter what the cost, when we say that we're willing to be living sacrifices, forfeiting that which is of value to us, because You have a greater claim, we give up that which we value because we know, Lord, that is nothing compared to what You value, what You want to give us. Lord, sacrifice is not something we choose in the natural man, or what our flesh would choose, or what our society would choose, but it's something that we as Your children choose. Lord, with Mary, we want to say, I am Your servant. With Joseph, we want to wake up and go and do immediately what You've called us to do. Amen.